This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
And then he comes out, and I'm like riding, and I open my legs up like I'm trying to get a date or something. I, bam, hit the ground.
But Joe, I believe, has to be more aggressive before he really takes over to being like a real championship threat. Because if you're not aggressive, then you're dictated on guys making a mistake. You're dictated either hole-shotting or things going perfectly. That's supposed to come in and replace you. It just gets a little tension. Britches get a little tight. Animosity gets a little high on there. And so coming into this weekend, we were all excited to watch them battle. I was excited to watch them battle and then battle in the truck. And that's what we got. So what's up, guys? You know who it is, your boy JS7. And you know where we at? We at the Rewind Show, baby. Round 18 from Paula Raceway. We got the defending Supercross champion with Chase Sexton. We got that pesky rookie, Jet Lawrence, moving up to the 450 class. And we got a lot of people up in, including Danger Boy, Hunter Lawrence, by East Coast in the 250 class, ready to dominate here in California, which is exactly where I'm at. I'm at the 7 office. So although the scenery's changed, we in that Supercross, we have Motocross, which is round 18, but it's round 1 for these boys. So you know what we got to do. Let's get into it.
Special in racing when you're on opening day for a new series, and we don't know what's going to happen.
No, we don't. And the rookie, Jet Lawrence, his first 450 Outdoor National, he throws the first blow, coming out being the fastest in practice. And you know what that has to do to his teammate, Chase Sexton. But, man, Jason, I am excited. The weather's awesome, and I'm excited just to see these guys do what they do best.
So coming into the first race, there's a lot of excitement from a lot of different us fans. We're excited for a change. Usually when you get to the Supercross season, although this year was a little bit different, there was a lot of drama going on the last few races. Usually the guys are starting to prepare for motocross. So we get the riders. Back when I raced, I was getting excited. And unfortunately, if I was getting excited for the motocross, that means my Supercross season wasn't going that well. But everybody's looking for that change. And these guys, even though they raced Supercross and they only had a week off, they've been preparing. Even your Supercross champion, Chase, you know, Cooper Webb, since he's been back on the bike, he's been riding in the 250 class. Those guys, whether they're East-West, at some point they've been doing outdoors. So everybody gets excited for this. I think the fans are excited to see that change, see these guys starting to go wide open. Riders feel like there's a new opportunity to start fresh. It's kind of like golf. You know, you get through the first nine. If the first nine suck, you're like, I'm going to get them on the backside. Then that backside sucks. You're like, I'll get them tomorrow.
Son of a bitch, Paul. Why didn't you just go home? That's your home. Are you too good for your home? Answer me.
That's how some of these guys are coming into it. So luckily, it was a cool weekend. It is a place that most of these guys are familiar with at Paula. They had a lot of time to be able to practice with it. I know they kind of changed that up a little bit recently where you can't practice that much, but everybody's pretty familiar. The weather's not too hot. Although there's a lot of injuries in the 450 class, I think it keeps the excitement for, one, the top two with Jet Lawrence, Chase, you know, Adam Cincerello, you know, Cooper Webb coming back, you know, a lot of guys which would end up coming back, Jason Anderson, Justin Barcia, that those guys will get back here and they'll keep that going. But in the 250 class, I think I was more excited about this year than years past because there hasn't been, or there's a possibility that it might not be a one dominant rider with Joe Shimoda, Danger Boy, how would he do hanging with Mr. Justin Cooper, and then, of course, Hunter Lawrence. There's a potential to be a lot of different winners along with the rookies, Chance Jaimes. You got Ryder D coming back. So 250 has always been exciting, but this year in particular, I was really excited to see those guys going. So the weather being cool, the fact is, like, now there's another championship that these guys can fight for. And even with their privateers, there's a lot for those guys to race with to race into that playoff series. So I think everybody was looking forward to getting out of the Supercross and then moving forward to outdoors. So.
And that's Jed going to lead them in and out of turn one with Ferrandis and Sexton right there. So a lot of the favorites starting up front early, but way to start it in the 450 division. Lawrence with the Motosport.com whole shot.
Look, people, there's no secret. That 450 class, you know, with some of the guys being out, the defending champion, Eli Tomac, Jason Anderson not being here, it was all based around teammates, right? We had Jet Lawrence moving up the 450 class, and he had the defending Supercross champion, Chase Sexton. And they're coming into tracks that they do really well on. Jet's never lost here. Chase has won here. Well, he almost won here last time he was there, but it was a title fight. He won here earlier last year, the first round last year. So we all knew in the 450 class, there was two people we were concentrated on, and those two people were concentrated on each other, and they just happened to be teammates. So the tension, I feel like I talked about coming into the season, was I was more excited to see what was going to happen off the track between those two, just their mindset, even just the truck tension. And, you know, if what happened ends up happening, you know, Chase comes out, he wins, or Jet comes out, he wins. You know, what happens during testing? You know, like, does that guy feels like he has that teammate's getting something that I can't get? And I only say that because I just remember being a teammate, and the one person that you want to beat out of anyone, it ain't the other team, it's your teammate. You want to be at least the number one on your truck. So when you have a teammate that's a champion that's supposed to come in and replace you, it just gets a little tension. Britches get a little tight. I believe those two are the two title favorites. I believe those two are probably going to go 1-2 a lot of these races. And with the guys being out, depending on when some of them come back, they're going to be ready. They're going to be already racing. These guys are going to catch up. So I believe these two is going to be the two that's going to be fighting each other. And they just happen to be teammates. And sure, I know what that tension is like. I know how that is. Give a couple more rounds. Whoever's beating the other one, they're going to be like, well, that guy's getting this and I can't get this. And that's the part where I say I get excited, not only to watch these guys race on the racetrack, but what just happens during the week and that tension of who gets the bean burrito or who gets that chicken and who gets to eat first, you know, whose bus pulls in there first. Like, all that stuff is going to end up becoming a play because they have the same equipment. They kind of have the same riding styles. They had the same opportunity to do it. They had the same opportunity to the parts. So it's going to be the other nuances and things that are going to separate these guys because they're both legit. Chase is a 450 Supercross champion. Chase is the guy that's supposed to come up, and with Eli being out, replace Eli. Well, Jet saying, I'm the future. The future is here, and the future just started yesterday, and I'm coming out here to win. So there's a lot of action that's happening right in front of us eyes, and as fans and us commentators, we're lucky to be able to see it. So I think if I'm Jet Lawrence, what I was able to do this weekend, it was perfect. I was fast in practice, which I think Chase knew I was going to be pretty quick. But the fact, the way I looked doing it, and I don't think it was a shock that I was able to win the race. I don't think Chase would have been shocked at me winning, but how I did it and the fact that the first moto, I go out and I'm dominating. And it basically looked like I was just moved over to a different class. Instead of going off on the first gate drop with my brother, I just waited and going off on your gate drop because nothing looked different. Jet Lawrence pulls a whole shot. Jet Lawrence gets away. Jet Lawrence has like a 10-second lead. Jet Lawrence has 10-second lead. Jet Lawrence wins the race. Now, well, we've been hearing that a lot. And so coming into this, I just did exactly that in your class, homeboy. And it looked exactly the same as your class, homeboy. And I felt like I did it pretty easy. Then the second moto, we get off the gate. I pull a whole shot, but you right there. You move back past Dylan Ferrandis. Ooh la boule, shake a Smith moi. You know, whatever. You move past him and you're on me for 30 minutes. So let's figure out what's going to happen. I'm a rookie, remember? I'm not supposed to do this. I know this is my favorite track, but you like this track too. And I just held you off And there was nothing you can do about it. You can get close, but not close enough. You were really never a threat. So if I'm Jet Lawrence, I just did this to you. Not only was I 2.5 seconds faster than you in practice, also just dominated first moto. And then I also just, you second moto, first 450 race, 30 minutes. I'm not supposed to do this. It's my first race. We all friends. And I did it, and I did it with ease. So I did everything I needed to do, which is only, it should just piss you off. It piss you off. And if I'm Chase Sexton, no, look, I'm the 450 champion. And I know you're coming in here, but I know you've been riding this 450 bike for a while, and I know you're pretty good. And I also know this is your favorite track. And history would say, what happened to Eli Tomac? He sucked here last year, right? Like, he got past, Ryan Dungey beat him. You know, so it's not surprising that somebody who just won the 450 Supercross champion a couple weeks ago, hint, which was me, they come here and struggle, and I struggle. I went down in practice, maybe hit my head, hurt my confidence. So look, kid, you came in here and you won, whatever. And if I'm Chase, that's what I'm saying, because at the end of the day, like, that's all I could say. You could tell watching that race, Chase was struggling. Like, Chase was struggling in practice for whatever reason. He was struggling. I don't think it was a bike setup. I don't think Chase was struggling on the bike. I don't think Chase comes in maybe like some of the past champions where they're not prepared for this. Because the way the Supercross season went down, usually when you have a past champion come in, let's say like Eli Tomac or Dungey or whoever it is, they're really prepared and they're racing all the way to the finish on a Supercross championship. Like, they don't want anything to happen to jeopardize that. So yeah, they'll ride outdoors, use on the week off, or, you know, maybe once a week, but they're concentrated on 450 Supercross. Well, the way this went down, Chase, and I think even Chase started saying this, like, he started preparing for this a while ago, because at one point, the Supercross championship was unlikely to happen. You had two guys, Cooper Webb and Eli Tomac, and they were more consistent, you know, for whatever reason, they were able to beat you. Even though you won races, you had your own issues. So I don't think you're coming into this race not prepared compared to where those guys in years past. Again, like I said, everyone outside of the champion usually is working, and the champion still continued just trying to wrap that Supercross championship up. So 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, Chase wasn't even in that. And the way this championship went down, he was preparing for outdoors or starting to look forward to this first race in outdoors. And all of a sudden things fell in, and it fell into his lap. And so just that, look, he was your champion essentially before he even raced the last race. It was like nothing really changed for him. So I think he came in as prepared as, you know, he could be. Maybe he said Jet had a little bit more time, or maybe not. But I don't think it was a bike thing. I just think there was a different type of pressure that was happening that I don't think anyone in both these guys has an experience. And I said this on the broadcast, was like, we're finding out things about these riders as they're finding out about themselves. Like, I don't believe Jet's ever been in a championship or a race where the guy in second is just as good as you. You know, the guy in second could just beat you just straight up or outrun you, and or at least where the end of the race where that guy's on you the whole time, and there ain't really nothing you can do about it. And Chase Sexton hasn't raced Jet like that, so he's finding out about Jet. He's also finding out what it feels like to be Eli Tomac, Ricky Carmichael, or that guy who is the guy who is supposed to win. Like, there's no excuses. Like, this is your championship. Even if he came in to the Supercross series this year as a favorite, you still had Eli Tomac. And it wouldn't be surprising if Eli Tomac did what he did and dominate the first two races and end up winning the championship, which he didn't. You did. But that wouldn't be surprising, even though you're one of the favorites. But coming into this outdoor series, like, no, it's what I had to experience. It's like, when you lose, you get second place. They're like, what happened? Like, what happened? That's a whole different pressure than anything Chase has ever experienced. And Jet's going to start feeling that as well. Because you don't go no higher than where you are right now. Like, this is the 450 class, and you're coming out and do what you did this weekend. You got to back that up, and that's just different pressure. So Chase showed up. He didn't look right, you know, and knowing that the track wasn't a mud race, it looked like Paula last year, the first one, and there was nothing that was standing out that was said, oh, his bike's off, or oh, he's hurt. he just looked like he struggled. So I think a sense of like being that guy that's expecting to win, it's just different than being the guy that is expected to win a race or possibly be in it. No, you're not expected to lose. So coming in and having your teammate, that's the last thing you want to do is allow this kid to come in here and win. And what he did, that's the last thing you want to do. So I think there was a lot of pressure on Chase, and I do believe moving forward, he'll be better. He got that out of the way. And I think, as we'll talk about in a minute, certain tracks and certain areas on tracks and moving forward, Chase will be set up better. I don't believe what happened at Sekimoto will happen again like it did. You know, there's parts where Chase was faster and parts where Jet was. So, again, we'll talk about it in a second. But I just think there was a lot of pressure on Chase. Then he goes down, and the way he fell was exactly like how he was falling in Supercross. Like, everything looks good. Then he hits the ground, and he got lucky, but it was a big hit. So the day wasn't – it didn't start off right. Then you go down, and in the first moto, you struggle for 15 minutes. But because you are a champion, because you have won before, you were able to regroup. And I believe you did the best thing you should have done was, look, I'm at least get second. I'm not going to hit the ground. And you started finding your flow and you start riding better. So coming into Sekimoto, watching it, I'm not shocked that you got beat. And I'm not shocked that Jet won the way he did. I think it was a good test for both of you guys. And as I was saying before, I think they were finding out about themselves and finding out a lot of things. Chase is finding out how to deal with that pressure of being the guy, and Jet's finding out how to deal with somebody who's just as good as me as a motorcycle. I can't just outrun like that. No matter how fast I was in practice, Chase is too good to just allow that to happen in the race. Chase died trying, you know, which he should die trying to do that. And he did a great job of not allowing you just to run away like you did in the first moto. So these guys are finding out about each other, and I think the more they do that, we'll just get a better version of that, and I think it's going to make for the great part of the season moving forward. So it was interesting to watch that, even though they never passed each other, never even got close to passing each other. It was pretty boring in the sense, but it was exciting to watch it, and hopefully you guys see what I'm talking about, that mindset of Debo, mind control over Debo. As I mentioned, there's parts of the track that Chase is really good on and that Jet's good on. And they're both, the good thing for us is that I feel like they're good in different parts of the racetrack, like where Chase is really good in the open parts, you know, the fast where it's really flowing. And not to say Jet isn't or just as good at that, but I believe Chase, his strong suit is the faster parts, you know, the sweepers and stuff coming around the mechanics area, things that are more straight up and down or just open, where Jet was really good in the tight part of the track. So when you're watching that race, it looked like once you got up by the mechanics area after you passed the finish line through that whole section, that Chase would catch him. He would catch him, be quicker all the way through there until you got through those rollers where Far East Coast crashed at, and you got into that one line section. And then going up that hill, Jet was better through that part. And coming down those hills, Chase was like really just bomb rushing that thing, like going super fast down that to keep, to catch up to Jet. And I think he was doing that because he was losing too much time in the ruts and the tighter part of the track, that he was trying to stay close to Jet to, when you get back to the faster part, the track opened up where the guy had to choose on the inside or outside. He can be close enough to make the pass. But Jet was so good in that that part of the racetrack that he got a gap. And then the whole time when Chase got to his better parts, he spent most of his time catching back up to him just to get back into that tighter part of the racetrack to lose it. So it was a tug of war, yo-yo effect, to where those two guys had their specific sections that one was better than the other. And all it did was allow the guy to pull away just for the other guy to catch back up, for that guy to pull away. And Chase was never able to get close enough to him or stay close enough to him in the tighter parts to use where he's better at, I believe, to make a pass. So moving forward, going to Hangtown's a faster racetrack. You know, it's more of an open racetrack. And if you remember, even last year at Paula, the way the track was set up at the first round compared to when they came here for the final, it was faster. And Chase and Ken Rocks and German Chocolate, what up, by the way, they were really good, where Eli was better in the tighter parts of the racetrack. So when they made these changes to the track and we came here for the last round, all of us thought that it was going to favor Chase, thinking that it was going to be that fast part, like faster racetrack. But when that thing slowed down, it helped Eli, and we know what happened. So believe in going to Hangtown. You know, you're going to have some of these yo-yo effects, but I think Chase will be better in those, in that part of the racetrack. Like, I think that whole racetrack is going to set up better for him. And it's going to be interesting to watch how Jet and that 450, how he handles that, the faster part. Because, look, the slow parts, you can ride a 500 through that. You know, it's more about technique. And we saw Jet jumping around the racetrack, being really patient in that stuff. And you have to be really patient in tighter part of the racetrack and tighter sections, especially when it's rut. And if Jet was riding that way, then that would make sense why he was able to pull away from Chase. And Chase had to push through that stuff because he was trying to keep him close to get past on the other side. So moving forward to Hangtown, it's going to be a faster racetrack. So I wouldn't be surprised if Chase go 1-1 next weekend. And then the following weekend, Jet wins. So just pay attention moving forward. And if you want to go back and watch that race, now you can see how that whole race played out. Like, pay attention to Jet and the tighter part of the racetracks and see what Chase had to do to catch him, or at least stay close to him in the tighter part of the racetracks. And then watch where Chase would be faster was in the open part. But he, as fast as he was, he just lost too much time in the tighters, and that was your race. So it should be good going into this weekend. So overall, Jet, Chase, they were the favorites in here. And I believe with Dylan Ferrandez, Adam Cooper, and then AP, I believe all those guys finished exactly and did exactly what they should have done. You know, Cooper hasn't had as much time, or I think it kind of circumstances kind of thrown him into this. And I thought he rode pretty good. And if you look at him, those tighter parts of the racetrack, and if you haven't been around outdoors, the hardest part is the fast parts of the racetrack. And I feel like that's the time that just has to, it takes a little bit of time to get comfortable. And you could tell as the day went on, Cooper got better in that part, but he was struggling. And it's just something that you have to be comfortable being uncomfortable, like Justin Barsha. So I thought Cooper rode good and he got better as the day. I thought AP was just as good as Dylan, but he kept hitting the ground. And you could tell he was getting frustrated because in those faster parts, just like Chase and Jet, he would catch Cooper, but Cooper was better in the other part and he would just lose that time. Then he would make his way and it was just frustrating for him. But, you know, AC, Dylan, I think everybody did what they should have done. I think those guys were they were off, of course, from the two title contenders. But that's just suspected. Cooper's coming off an injury. Dylan's coming off an injury. AP was, I would say, the third fastest guy coming into that, but he got caught up behind those guys. And AC still building his way up. And that was kind of your top five. So as the year goes on and you get Barsha back, you get Anderson back, and maybe some of these other guys, then you'll have more of a guys battling. And then I do believe Dylan and Cooper and maybe even AP, AC, they might become a title threat. But for right now, it is raining red, and they just need to build their time in. So I thought the rest of the 450 class, all of them, even shout out to the privateers, everybody did good. And I think it only bodes well for us to continue and those guys get better and hopefully throw a challenge to the two up front. Now we're going to talk about one class that we don't talk about too much, but it is worth talking about, is that 250 class.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And boy, I was excited to watch it. And I'm sure we all was. The way they finished, a 1-11 ends up 3, and they all ends up like super close. And just a fun fact is when if you look through the top 7 of the points, you know, 1 through 7, they're all within 12 points from the guy who won to the guy in 7th place. If you look at the 450, 1 through 7, it was like almost 25 points. So the difference in what makes the 250 class exciting is because there's not one dominant alpha yet that's in that class. And I think coming into the season, we were wondering, okay, Hunter Lawrence is getting in the spot Chase Sexton's in. You know, how would he react? You know, last time he was there was, I would say, somewhat, you know, when his brother's bike blew up, he inherited the lead. He was a red plate. And then next thing you know, he was matrixing. Like, he was fighting Styles Robinson. You know, that boy had some fire in him. That's the last time we seen him with the red plate. So how would he react coming off the Supercross season? His brother's out, and he is the guy that's supposed to dominate. And I would say he did pretty well, right? Like, he did pretty well. He rode pretty good that first moto. And in hindsight, when you start looking at, and I believe Hunter, to his credit, he rode just like I guess he should ride. Look, anybody in this class so far hasn't proven to be a guy that can go just 1-1-1-1-1 like my brother. Like, they're not going to be consistently fast every single weekend. And a lot of these guys are dictated off starts. Where I feel like, you know, I do got pace. I'm probably one of the fastest guy between at least top 3, B, Justin Cooper, and then RJ. But, I mean, even Max Bolin was pretty quick in there. And even my French, the new French guy coming in this thing, they have some speed. But overall, I'm the guy that should be on the podium every single race, where guys like RJ and, you know, some of these other guys, they have some up and downs. And until Far East Coach Joe Shimoto starts rounding out his form like he did the end of last year, until Justin Cooper shows up and goes as fast as he does in practice and goes 1-1 and then tells me something different, then I can just, look, get a bad start. I need to get up to the top 5. I need to be on the podium. And if I hold shot, then I'm probably going to win. So he did exactly what he needed to do, and that's how he wrote. So I don't know how much pressure or that feeling where he, like his teammate Chase has on him, where overall he should, even if he gets a bad start, there's no way he should be off the podium, you know, with this field. And there's a guy that's probably, if you allow him to get confidence, which I think he is, that could be just as good, if not better than you, that can run away like the 450 class. I don't see that guy in this 250 class outside of possibly Justin Cooper or maybe Joe Shimoda, but they haven't proven to do that. Jet Lawrence has proven to do that. So it's my class. So with him, goes 3-1, wins overall. Yeah, there's some other guys. RJ wins that first moto, but I'm not surprised RJ goes down and he gets like 11th. RJ went down three times. I know RJ does not cheat you for effort. That boy, he never gives up. And shout out to RJ. I believe this is the best he's looked outdoors, period. I believe his bike looks good. And I think he's going to be more in a week in and week out fight for overalls. Just time would tell if he can start riding like, you know, Hunter is, that third place to get a bad start. He just won't go down, you know, mistake free. Does that start coming into it? Because I was not shocked that RJ went 1 and then got 11. Not shocked at all. I would be shocked if RJ went 1-1 and then came back and went 1-1 following weekend. And when he does that, I think it would change his Hunter's mindset, that it would become a lot more pressure on Hunter. And the same thing that goes for the other guys. I think there's only one person or maybe two people that Hunter is afraid of, that if he feels like if they get confidence and they get on a roll, that we can have series. Otherwise, if those two don't get on there, we ain't going to have no problem. And that's Justin Cooper. Justin Cooper is probably one of the fastest guys, if not the fastest guy out there. That dude was fast in practice. And the way he looked, he just looked better. I looked at his body, looked at his eyes. He looked better. But thinking about the race and where Justin Cooper's came from, it makes sense of how he finished. Justin Cooper has been going to Kawhi Leonard program where he's been ducking in and out. He was a 450 guy. So one thing that you can emulate is racing. Can't imitate that. So Justin Cooper, fast in practice. Well, yeah, you could be out a long time and go fast one lap. So that makes sense, which is a good thing. I'm fast. Go out the first race, things start happening. You don't hold shot. You're not out by yourself and speak and get away. Things start happening. So I believe what happened at first moto is expected with Justin Cooper. Dude hasn't raced. You can't imitate being around other people. Like, you can't. I think things start happening fast in his brain, and it came to him quick. He ends up fifth to sixth, wherever he was. That second moto, look, you got one race under his belt. He was better. He started riding better that second moto. He was starting to charge. And I just believe what happened between the first moto and second moto is expected because he hasn't raced. And so the racing is the one thing, and being around people, those gate drops are the one thing that would hurt him. So to see that he improved in the second moto, it just looks better for him. And I think coming into Hangtown, he'll be a better rider. So although we were all like, damn, man, like, he was 2.5 seconds fast. He was faster than Hunter Lawrence. He came out and look, Hunter got around him. He just didn't look good that first moto. You think about the one thing, a guy who has not raced, what he would struggle on. And that's the first gate drop of an outdoor where you don't have 22 people. You got 40 people and all these things are happening. It's not shocking that Justin Cooper struggled that first moto, but the fact and good thing for us, and the one thing I know Hunter is paying attention to, he looked better that second moto. And so it's not a fitness thing because, yeah, it wasn't hot, whatnots, but he looked strong that second moto and he looked faster that second moto. And I believe if you put him up there with Hunter, I think he would have been able to somewhat run that pace too. So I think we'll see a better Justin Cooper. Actually, I don't think. I know we'll see a better Justin Cooper this weekend and the following weekend if he's on those trends. Then I would say Hunter might have a problem because Justin Cooper does got that pace, and it seems like he's got the fitness. He just needs some gate drops, and he already made an improvement from first to second moto. And Joe Shimoda just had a rough day. He caught people in a bad time, right? Like, he was passing people, and first moto, he gets around RJ, and he starts pulling away. I think he makes a mistake, and then he goes outside. And I know we call him Far East Coast, but that was a Far East Coast outside line that made no sense. And RJ goes around them. But that whole time I'm watching, I'm like, all right, Joe is pulling away. We come back to him. RJ's on him. And then when RJ gets past, Joe was still faster. And Joe ends up getting cross-rider going down. But that was pretty much how Joe's whole day was. He was faster than everybody else. He was around him, but he couldn't pass people. So it just, I think his riding was way better than his finishes. So I believe Joe would be a better, he shouldn't be too bummed on that. And so I think the 250 class as a whole, with Danger Boy riding good, Max Volan looked really good, and Tom Vial looked really good. All those things are everybody in the 250 class, I think, won this weekend, really. You know, some guys maybe got like a podium, and say, you know, Justin Cooper maybe got podium, and Joe Shimoda got podium. But I believe Danger Boy won. I think Tom Vial won. I think Max Volan won. Because even before Max fell that second moto, dude, Max was rolling. And that kid, he didn't even make the main event a couple weeks ago. And those guys need confidence. Those guys are talented. Those guys got speed. You know, we saw what happened to Danger Boy throughout the Supercross season. He started getting confidence. You know, he started scrubbing. He started running into people. Ask Jordan Smith, what do you think of confidence? You saw what happened. And you saw that transition to where that heat race in Salt Lake City, that boy looked dominant. It looked like he belonged. And that second moto, he felt like he was belonging. And I think he actually rode good the first moto. So that confidence through Supercross season allowed him to ride in that second place where I feel like he felt like he belongs there. And I feel like he believes he can win. And the same thing, I'm watching Max Volan out there. I'm watching a guy that did not qualify a couple weeks ago in the Supercross series that comes out here and it's his first podium ever. He's up front and that dude was riding. I'm watching Tom Vial, watch him all through Supercross season. And I know he started off with four, but there was things, what happened to Justin Cooper and the difference between European and the way these crazy Americans are these first few laps in this 250 class. It takes confidence and it takes time to get used to that. So you get him on an open track, a rough track, because that track was rough. And you can see his riding from the first practice, second practice, even first moto, to where that dude was riding that second moto. I mean, Justin couldn't get him. Like, he looked good. So all this, off all those guys, everybody won. Everybody won because they didn't let Hunter run away with the points. I believe everybody in their head made something, made an improvement, and it made him better, which will make him better for next weekend. So this 250 F class is going to be banging. Hit it for him, Cole.
Bam!
That's what it's going to be. So this 250 F class, I know Hunter won, but I really feel like this next race is going to be like the first race where everybody's starting to feel like they belong, because I know ain't no one in that class feels like Jet Lawrence just went 1-1. They don't feel like Hunter Lawrence is going to run away from him. And Hunter Lawrence might run away from him because he's that good. But I do believe there was nothing that happened, only positives from the 250 class, and we're looking forward to that. So with Joe Shimoda, I think if anybody, I would be, he's maybe a little disappointed on how he rode, because as I said, he rode better than his finishes say he did. And there's one thing that I would say, which kind of hurts Joe, and I would say a guy like Ryan Dungey went through this in the beginning, is that Ryan, his one of his knocks that he wasn't aggressive. Like he could be faster than most guys, and Joe was faster than anybody he was riding around. And even at first moto, like he was pulling away from RJ, and then he made a mistake and then RJ got around him. But then he was like closing back up on RJ, and it seemed like RJ was holding him up. But when you're not aggressive, it's hard to pass. And it's not like you got to be aggressive like Barsha, but what it does is like when you come in, you got to be able to bump people. You got to be able to move them out the way, like just running in on them. And one of the negatives about not doing that is also like people around you, they don't fear you like that. So they'll race you differently. Like they'll just run down the middle of the track or even leave it open, or they'll run the fast line. Even if it leaves the inside open, they'll run that fast line because they know you won't run in on them. So I think if with watching Joe ride, that's kind of been one of the things I would say that holds him back, because other guys don't see him as that guy that one will take him out. And not saying I'm promoting violence, but you know what I mean? Like if Anderson was on the inside or Barsha, and we saw this happen in Supercross, people ride different. Like people ride different because they know if you give them an inch, they're gonna do what they need to do to move forward. And yeah, there's a fine line between being dirty or anything. And Joe doesn't even need to be like that. But Joe, I believe, has to be more aggressive before he really takes over to being like a real championship threat. Because if you're not aggressive, then you're dictated on guys making a mistake. You're dictated either hole shotting or things going perfectly. But those races where you get like how you were this first race, where you got to come up through the pack, or if you go down and move your way up, you're going to struggle. And history would say, besides like the race he did in Red Bull when he came from last to like third, he might have been pissed off. History would say he struggles like coming up through guys, even though he's faster. And that's the same thing Ryan Dungey went through. And when Dungey decided, like, look, I'm over this stuff, he started winning Supercross titles. Like people start looking at him differently. And I don't even think I really seen Dungey run in and knock somebody down. Well, he kind of did that to me in 14, but I just say that was an accident.
Around Stewart, and Dungey goes right into Stewart. All the way down is James Horn.
I just think Joe needs to ride that way. And I think once Joe rides that way, he might not ever hit anybody, but people will know that Far East Coast might Bruce lead him, and he might get into that. And I think guys will start giving him the respect that he deserves. Like Joe should be up front. And when Hunter is behind him, they know Hunter should be up front. And if he's holding him up, they know Hunter will move that ass out the way. And I feel like people are even starting to feel like Danger Boy would do that. And other guys, RJ would do that. And so Joe being that guy, I believe if he starts riding that way, then you'll start seeing a huge difference in his riding. And I think it'll get almost easier for him, where these guys won't race him like they race him now. And that's why when you watch Joe, if he gets a bad start, he goes down, he has a hard time getting around people. And that's directly because he's not a really ultra aggressive rider. And I think once he does that, then I think it'll put fear in a lot of people, because he's faster than most guys around him, and he should be able to ride up. We shouldn't watch him being stuck behind the same guy more in like a couple laps that he's clearly faster, that he can catch. And that's all because he's not as aggressive as most people. So Jeremy Martin, he's an older version of Joe Shimoda. Yeah, he has the same problems, guys. And I say that because you saw how Danger Boy ran around him on the outside at Daytona and a few passes. He's Jeremy Martin's a two-time champion, and he might be trying to build himself back up to confidence, but I know he went down, and I don't know exactly what happened, but I know from talking, like listening to him talk on pre-race, I know we respect him a lot better than that. I know he was. And so when I watch him ride, I just see the same issue. Guys race him differently. You know, when guys don't, not to say everybody respects Jeremy Martin, everybody respects Joe Shimoda, and I'm not saying that they need to be dirty, but what I'm saying is like, people race you differently. Like people will race you differently. And it's kind of like a little bit, imagine like the leader and coming up on a lap rider. Even if a lap rider is battling someone else, another guy, they are somewhat aware of you, right? They're somewhat aware, like they might get in your way, but eventually like they'll try to do their best to like move out of your, like move over. And I know like that's kind of cliche with lap flat, but it's that they know they don't belong where they are. Like they know you're going to the front and they're in the way. And even if they mess up and get in your way, it's not like purposely. And I feel like when guys know other guys are going to the front, even if Hunter has the same speed as Jeremy Martin or has the same speed as Joe Shimoda, Hunter passed that guy and Joe tries to pass that guy that they're going to pass will race both of them differently. They'll race both of them differently, even if they got the same speed and they're moving forward. And I feel like that's the same thing with a lap rider. Like guys will race you more as a lap rider, knowing that they can do whatever they want, but eventually either they're going to have to get out their way because you're holding them up, or you will blast their ass out their way, which they'll make one mistake and they'll just let you go through. I feel like with certain guys, they don't do that. They'll make a mistake and then still dive bomb to the inside because they know you're not going to do anything and they don't respect you like that. So it's kind of like when you look at guys and they expect to win and they're going to win. And I feel like other guys sense that as well. Like they just know this dude is going to the front and either I'm going to be up there and I'm going to race with him or he's going to move my ass out because that guy's going up to the front and they'll just race you differently. So Jeremy Martin is in the same boat. And I think with the confidence and injuries with him, he's not even in the same position as Joe Shimoda because he's trying to build his own confidence. And so when other guys are racing him, it just makes it tough for him, a.k.a. when you got passed on the outside of Daytona, like that should have never happened. And the fact that Deegan sensed that, and it's probably the first time he erased you, just shows that like that kid's smart. He pays attention. So take a out. I don't know. Do something. So before we move on to Stews and Stews, we know what we got to do. And since we talked about both of them, and I know, look here. Look, we just won the both East-West shootout. We won the East-West shootout. Well, my brother did. And then he won the West Coast Championship, and I won the East Coast. And they be talking about Jet because Jet be giving all these donuts out. And it's like, oh, Lawrence. And Lawrence said, oh, yeah, Hunter's around here. I know Hunter's around here. But look, they keep talking about Jet. And he moves up, and they think maybe Joe Shimoda's going to come in here. Or Mr. Cooper. Hell nah. This is my class, and I belong. And now look, I won this championship, and these fools think they're going to come in here and take my championship. They ain't going to do that. So you know what we got to do. Hit it for him, Cole.
Suntan. Next on fire.
And I know my brother is got that 250 class. And I know he did pretty good. All right. You know, he won that East Coast stuff, something that I did before. And he's in that little bike class and he should handle those guys. But I'm moving up to the 450 class. And the only time I ever raced this, hey, I won, which is on the Motocross Nations. And all I do is win. And like I told you, I think in the future, I had this stuff plotted. Look, I might go back and race the Motocross of Nations on a 250. Why? Because I'm going to win so much in this 450 class that I'm going to be so bored of winning, but I'm not bored with this. So I'm the real Lawrence. And even though I'm the younger brother, I'm the oldest person in the room because I'm dominant and I get more victories. Hit it for him, Cole.
Suntan, next on fire.
Neck burn, Jet Lawrence, Hunter Lawrence. It's still the Lawrence show. Like, it's still raining red. And I know, look, you got your teammates defending 450 Supercross champion. Who cares, right? Who cares? Donuts for everybody. And I want to point out one thing, people. Did you see the way that second moto was? The teammates?
Did you see any high fives? Did you even see a look back? Did you see the way Jet Lawrence pulled that tear off after that finish line? That boy pulled it with authority. That's why that class is going to be exciting. And that's why I said, look, I'm excited to see how those boys race off the racetrack. Because I didn't see any hugging. I didn't see nothing. Because that boy knew what he was trying to do. And Chase Sexton said he needed to get his butt off thing, whatever the hell he said. And funny thing is, when he was sitting there texting, which I'll just say this for Stews and Stews. So Jet Lawrence, Hunter Lawrence, congratulations. Ain't nothing changed. Seems like we've been saying that all year long. And if you guys want to keep it going, maybe you will. But first, you know what we got to do, people. My favorite time, your favorite time, Stews and Stews. We'll be right back.
They say an object in motion tends to stay in motion. We test that idea on a daily basis. Motion and experimentation. Motors and manpower. We continue to evolve and thrive. So whether you climb or cross over, find your own line, or pin it wide open, as long as you're moving in a way that gives you what you need, we'll be here for you.
Hey guys, what's up? It's James Stewart. As you guys know, Athletic Greens is a proud partner of our show. They've been a sponsor of this for a while. It's a nutritional drink that supports the immune system. With 75 high-quality ingredients, that gives me the key to daily nutrients and long-term gut health. They have good travel packs that I take with me on the road, and I took it this weekend, which I needed, which gives me energy and helps my immune system because I'm flying all over the place, can get sick a lot. AG1 helped me with that. And it's only $3 a day. So it's a good deal if you ask me. If a solution is what you need for your supplement routine, then Athletic Greens is giving you a 1-year supply of free vitamin D and 5 travel packs. So make sure you go to athleticgreens.com/Bubba's World. Did you hear me? athleticgreens.com/Bubba's World. Go check it out, peeps.
All right, people, you know what time it is. My favorite time, your favorite time. Hell, all of us' favorite time. Oakley, Stews, and Stews. Now, like we always do, we're going to go with a Stew. What is that? A guy that just came off his championship. A guy that just came off another championship. Hey, those guys happen to be brothers. This guy's coming in. They move in different classes. Homeboy's moving to the East Coast. The other one moving to the West Coast. That doesn't make any sense. 450, no 50, 250. Jet Lawrence. And Hunter Lawrence. Y'all both the Stews. Let me break it down for you, people. Hunter Lawrence, you came in this thing and you're like, look, I don't even have to be dominant. I just have to be consistent. But if I need to be, I'll be dominant. When I get these guys a little bit confident, like you get Danger Boy up there trying to come up on me and stuff. Like, no, not going to do it. You get RJ going to run away with the first moto. You got Joe Shimoto out here trying to pass me back. Look, nah, I got the third place, second moto. I'm just whole shot and just run away from it. And that's exactly what it did. I just got to be here because me being here is going to win it. So what does that make me? That makes me a Stew because I get the overall and I can do it a different type of ways. Now, my brother, Jet Lawrence, I know I'll be coming in with the donuts and I'll be like, hey guys, what's up, man? Just cool guy doing the scrub. But I'm coming in with focus. Why I'm focused? Because I see Chase with his Oakley sunglasses and hater blockers on, and he feel like his future too bright. He can't see. He got to put on sunglasses. But when his future too bright, what he's doing, he's looking at me. He's looking at me because I'm a bright light. And I came in here when people were saying all this hype, and they're like, man, you're a rookie. You shouldn't be doing that. You got your teammate. He just won that 450 championship. He's the guy that's supposed to be in here. Eli Tomac still looking for his Achilles. I'm the guy that's supposed to come in here, and I came in here, and not only did I dominate, I came and I was way faster in practice, so I showed him the speed. Then I came out the first moto, whole shot, just in case he didn't know. I came out and just rode around, jump in. They had JS like, damn, look at him. It's beautiful. Look at him. He's not even trying. It's beautiful. And then came out the second moto, in case they missed the first whole shot, I did it again. And then I showed him, look, I'm in shape. I'm still looking beautiful.
And what that does, that makes me a beautiful stew. So Jet Lawrence, you already know you a stew, but you a stew because you came out when other people thought maybe you were going to be a stew or your teammate was going to be a stew. You showed them who the real one is, and that's you, son. So congratulations. And it's like, I almost feel like maybe we might be just putting this on auto repeat, Jay. We might just be saying the Lawrence boys are stews. Them two brothers are like stews. We all stews. They're going to be black like Tomac. So Jet Lawrence, Hunter Lawrence, y'all both stews. Now my next list is stew. Now we usually go confused, but this one is stew. My Oakley stew. And this is going to be pretty simple, people. Look, Chase Sexton. And I'm just speaking from me. And the way I think, you might not think. The way he thinks, he might not think. I don't know. It all thinks, which is all confusing, which it ain't that list. But if I'm in you and I just saw what happened, look here. Everybody's talking about the Supercross champion. I got lucky to win that, right? I got lucky to win that, right? Then that first 250 championship, I got lucky to win that. Maybe I did, but look, I got lucky to win it. Then I came back and dominated. Then I win this championship and Eli, look, I can't help that he snapped that Achilles like a pop chain. I can't help that. He did that because he knew I was coming. He was nervous. He was nervous. And even though I hear Eli don't really care about anything, he can get eighth and get 15th and just dominate all of us. It was because of me. So people, they didn't give me my respect, put some respect on my name. Then I come to this first race and look, I know you got this rookie in here, which donut boy and all that. But I'm Chase Sexton. Last time I ran the champ down to the end and I should have won that, but I didn't win that. You know I'm coming in here. I like this track too. I don't care how much he is. And then he comes out and I'm like, damn, he's pretty fast. And then he comes out and I'm like riding and I open my legs up like I'm trying to get a date or something. I bam, hit the ground and I smack my head. I'm like, oh, I'm dreaming. And then I get up and I was like, all right, I'm back. I'm back. Then next thing you know, my teammate pulls a whole shot. I'm like kind of right there. Next thing I look up and he gone. He be doing what I used to do to them cats. He used to be like last year, if you let me pull a whole shot, you ain't gonna catch me. And the next thing you know, I'm riding around like my first name, like I'm chasing and I don't like that. So it pissed me off. Then our second motor, I'm sitting on the gate and I'm like texting and going through my things and bing, Jet Lawrence sends me a text to say he's gonna whoop my ass. And I'm just kidding. Maybe that was, I don't know, but I'm mad. So he holds shots. I'm like, damn, he did it again. Then I'm out there. I'm like, oh, I'm about to get him. He ain't going to be in shape. He don't know about this 450 class like I do. I ran Tomac. That's what I do. And this kid, he was like right there. He was right there, and I couldn't get him. And then he crossed the checkered flag, and he goes a fist pump from hell. I thought he was going to break his arm. And then he pulls that damn tear off, and he don't even look at me. Congratulate. Even Eli congratulated me. I thought we was friends. I'm pissed. I'm stewed. So, Chase Sexton, I'm only speaking how I would be. And even though I should know all that stuff, and even though, look, like you could see most of it on TV, I'm pissed that I allowed this dude to come in here in my house, in my team. He's supposed to replace me and in the first race and come out and dominate it. And then I couldn't do anything. But you know what? It's only round one, baby. You know what I got? I got that championship hangover. And most times, usually when the champions get that championship hangover, it don't last for long. A couple Advils here and there. Dehydrate. I'm going to show up and whoop your ass in Hangtown. So that's what I plan on doing. Maybe I'm not the best in some of these tight corners. Sometimes I open my legs up like I'm trying to get a date. But I'm going to close them this, and I'm going to keep it on lock. And I'm about to lock it down. That's my plan, so we'll figure it out. So, Chase Sexton, you stewed. But next week, Jay, I'm letting you know I'm going to be a stew. And Jet Lawrence is going to be stewed. The only way to find out is next week from Hangtown, which will be round 19, which is 2. And I don't know, people. It's just a round. I'm excited to go see it. But until then, you know what we got to do. And I'm going to have to figure out a different way. I want to thank everybody for showing. I want to thank all the TV people. I know, look. It was a lot. It was a lot on your boy. We had so much time to talk, and I was smacking and eating. I almost pee-peed myself because we were live nonstop TV. But I had my counterpart, Jason, wagging around, and we were both getting in there. We were like Bond and Clyde or we just come up with J&J. Look, J&J Racing. Now you know that's what we are, but it was fun. Just like those guys. They'll improve. I'll improve. Hope you guys enjoy it. I'll see you next week, and hopefully we'll have another battle like we did this weekend where somebody gonna get knocked out. Not physically, but take a bitch out like Joe Shimoda's probably gonna take a bitch out next week. But until then, I'll see you next week. And I'm gonna try to walk away, but
this is awkward. This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.